The Reserve Bank, it kept interest rates on hold at that record low of 1% when it met earlier this week. It hasn't ruled out further cuts. In fact, that's the market expectation. The RBA, it wants lower unemployment and higher inflation. And Governor Philip Lowe has put the onus back on the federal government to deliver more infrastructure spending to stimulate our economy. The chair of the Economics Committee in Parliament, Liberal MP Tim Wilson, is critical of the RBA's stance, and he will get the chance to say that to Philip Lowe in person tomorrow. I caught up with him a little earlier. Tim Wilson, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
RBA Governor Philip Lowe appearing before the Economics Committee tomorrow. What will you be asking him?
Well, I'll be asking about the basis in which they have cut interest rates twice since this side of the election, as well as holding them, and the rationale and the basis that sits behind us, why they've made those decisions, whether it's backed up by their own research and evidence base, and also where they see interest rates going, because we're now in a globally low interest rate environment, and what's the pathway back to higher rates, because you can't just go in one direction.
I mean, the RBA needs to be interrogated by the Parliament, absolutely, but would you not assume that board of the Reserve Bank has a fair handle on the economy?
Absolutely, but that's why it's entirely legitimate to ask what's the rationale and the basis in which they're making their decisions. That they've rightly drawn discussions or raised discussions about fiscal stimulus. We've obviously had that with some of the recent tax cuts. There's obviously further tax cuts further down the way. But they've also raised discussion around infrastructure and investment in that as part of fiscal stimulus, and critically as part of a discussion around structural reform of things like rebasing the tax system, industrial relations, and we want their views on that too.
You've accused the RBA of giving up on stimulating the economy, but you've also criticised them for cutting rates. That's a bit of a confused message.
That's the point, is that's not actually true. There's an over-enthusiastic journalist at the Fairfax, or what we used to call Fairfax, what is now Nine newspapers, claiming that I've said they're giving up. I've said that they've exhausted the influence of monetary policy, and when you get rates down around 1%, I don't think many people would question that. And so the question then is, what do you do, and what do we need to do to make sure the economy stays healthy? But critically, how then do you return to an environment of higher rates? Because low rates have obviously an impact on those people that have debt and have to service debt.
Yep.
But there are lots of Australians who live off interest-bearing deposits who rely on higher rates for their livelihood, and how they're balancing and waiting out some of those discussions.
It becomes quite problematic, doesn't it? I mean, if we've exhausted both those possibilities, those two central levers to encouraging economic activity, and still the economy is in the doldrums, we have a problem, and especially when we look around us at the international situation and things are not going to improve.
And this is why you can't separate out Australia from other countries. You've got to look at what's happening elsewhere and the influence that's having. But yes, I mean, you know, you should never, after 28 years of uninterrupted economic growth, you know, we're going to be faced with challenges, and our job as a parliament, as a government, as a nation, is to confront those challenges. And so one of the things that I'm very interested in about the RBA's perspective is, what else do we need to do around industrial relations, around tax reform, around making sure that Australia becomes an attractive destination for investment to create jobs, so that Australians can continue to enjoy the living standards that we currently enjoy.
And what might you do? And this is another of the governor's talking points, is on increasing the wage level within the economy, which he would see as a stimulatory act.
And that's true, but you only get an increase in wages if there is either a constraint in the labour supply, the number of people working, so that you have to pay more to get people to work. And a lot of that comes back down to discussions around the tax system, who's paying tax, at what stage of life, and the extent to which we continue to import skills and labour. And so none of these things are straightforward, and you know, it does sound very wonkish, but all of them are critical to the living standards of Australians, and the objective of the government has to be to increase those standards.
But if we have exhausted monetary policy, and if we have, in terms of infrastructure, as you suggest, done so much that we're now hitting a head against capacity constraints, wouldn't something like, for example, increasing a Newstart benefit at reasonably modest cost but fairly direct stimulatory input to the economy, would that not be a good idea?
Well, that raises a whole series of other issues, and one of the things that we went to an election on, and that the Treasurer has been very clear on, and I want to make it clear, I am extremely clear on, is that we made a commitment to the Australian people that we would achieve a budget surplus. And
is that the most important priority in a difficult economic time?
I think it's actually really critical for investor confidence and confidence about government behaviour, yes, and that's why we're determined when you make a commitment that you're going to honour it, and I think, and we will honour it, and so it is critical as part of that discussion, as part of making sure that we can grow the economy and give people a sense of confidence that they invest in Australia, they're going to get reliable outcomes.
Just on a final point, one of the most critical things, and we've touched on this, to the Australian economy will be our commercial relationship with China and how the trade war with China and the US plays out. Is it helpful in that context to have your colleague Andrew Hastie equating China with Nazi Germany?
Well, I don't think he was doing that. I think what he was saying was that there are test lines around the ambitions of China, and particularly around the expectation that many people, including myself, used to say that as China becomes more prosperous, that as a country it will democratise. That's increasingly not the case, or seems to not be the case. Mm. And so I'll always defend the right of my parliamentary colleagues to stand up, whether I agree with them or not, stand up for the best interests of our country and to raise topical issues, and that's what Andrew has done.
Is there a bit of freelancing going on in the government? Is the government lacking a certain amount of messaging discipline at the moment?
Absolutely not. I would have thought in any parliament what you actually want is people standing up, raising difficult and sometimes challenging topics to advance the interests of Australia. And, you know, I'm quite clear, I'll stand up and discuss difficult and challenging issues around the economy. Andrew has raised issues around national security and the future of not just Australia, but its place in the region. I would be horrified if people thought that it were better that parliamentarians did not confront the difficult challenges that confront our country.
So we can conclude that Andrew Hastie's view on China and its parallels with appeasement of Nazi Germany, that represents a whole of government view?
That's a sensationalisation of both his opinion, and the Prime Minister has made it clear that exactly what you said is not the opinion of the government. What the government has said is that we have a strong strategic relationship with the United States, and we will continue to do so. China is our biggest trading partner, and we will work with both countries, but we know where our common values lie, and we know where our economic opportunities lie, and we work with those countries and those governments to achieve the best interests of Australia. And that's the spirit in which I think Andrew offered his very important commentary today, is to say we should do what's in Australia's best interest, but be honest about the challenges that we face from his perspective.
Tim Wilson, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jonathan. Take care.
Tim Wilson, Government MP and Chair of the Economics Committee. This is Drive on RN.